TikTok opened up a creator fund, $200 million to these creators. So I applied and I got accepted. Wow, okay, so TikTok is actually going to start paying now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
We're not rolling yet, bro. Save that.
You guys started going.
Oh, you are?
We are rolling. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are excited to have someone that is above all...
Just restart. that was garbage. That was going nowhere. Just restart. Now it's got to stay in. Welcome, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Unlikely Story Podcast. And today we have an exciting treat for you. Someone who has been blowing things up. Not literally, just so we're clear, but blowing things up.
He's not a terrorist.
in the influencer space.
It's questionable.
All throughout all the platforms, but especially on TikTok recently. And I liken him to the great John Candy, even in many ways. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Colin Everett.
Thank you.
Yes,
guys.
Colin Everett at Colin Your Mom on TikTok.
With right. Two R's. U-R-R. Colin Your Mom. Well, we'll put it up. We'll put the graphic up.
Oh, yes. We sure will. Welcome, man. It's great to have you here.
Appreciate you guys.
This has been a little bit of a journey getting Colin here. We had a little
snafus,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Flights,
yeah.
Man. Flights. It's stressful no matter how you slice it. Yeah. Every single time. Something goes wrong. Something is changed.
Luggage. Your luggage gets lost. Chris, that's happened to you a bunch of times, huh?
No, not the luggage. It's always maintenance or delays or change. Like one flight is delayed and it cascades down. It's so stressful. That's why I travel less and less. But that's a good segue into today's sponsor, actually. Real quick, before we get into the nitty-gritty.
When you want it to go well.
When you want traveling to go well, call up the experts at TravelIsSwell.com. TravelIsSwell is today's sponsor. They are your sandals and beaches resort specialists. And man, that sure sounds great right about now.
But I feel like we're all a little overly tan in this office, right? Aren't we? If we cut to the wide here. Look how, for those of you watching, you can see how tan we all are.
It's a real problem. I'm too
tan.
Wow.
I think all three of us look like Meryl Streep. We need some sun. You know what I'm saying?
Could definitely use some sun. You like to travel, don't you, Colin? I mean, you've been to several different interesting countries.
I have. Hot countries. Brazil. Mm-hmm. You know, that is like, you know, south of the equator. So their summer is like October to February.
Mm.
But it 105 degrees on Christmas Day. That's what I'm used to. And
wow. Ooh, Santa be sweating.
That's right.
Well, by Noel.
Stick around, exactly. Guys, for throughout the episode to hear a little bit more about TravelIsSwell and getting that vacation booked to get that tan like we all need. But we're excited to dive in here with Colin Everett.
We reached out. I saw Colin in a TikTok feed, and he fit the description of a character we were looking for in something we were filming that we just recently filmed about a month ago with Colin, with King Batch. This was just a few months ago, and you had 3.5 million followers on your TikTok. But since that time, you've doubled. You've doubled your followership, your fellowship. You've doubled your fellowship.
Yeah.
Your subscriber base has grown tremendously. Mm-hmm. I attribute it a lot to what you're doing on TikTok. But we've had a blast working with you, and of course, having you here, you can tell us a lot about that. But from 3.5 million to over 6.2 million today, that's pretty incredible. And that's just in like a month and a half's time.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you come into making content and being a creator that you are today?
Okay, so I downloaded TikTok reluctantly.
Of course, we all do. Let's all just admit that.
Musically into TikTok, I was like, what is this? I was only ever on Instagram, so I would see the TikTok watermark on a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. I just didn't get it. All I saw was dances. So I had a buddy say to me, dude, get TikTok. I think that your videos that you post on Instagram already would play really well on TikTok. Mm. I was like, okay. So I literally just started recycling those videos. And some of those videos just took off.
Oh, yeah.
So then I ran out. Like, I went through all my videos that I already had. And I ran out. And I kind of discovered that people really like, if you get the TikTok app and you film in it and you, mm-hmm. you know, post there and yeah. to them, not just like a recycled whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of...
Like, you're talking directly to them. Like, they are an audience yeah. that's... It's like they've paid to see a show in Vegas and you're having an intimate conversation with
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I kind of ran out of recycled stuff and just had to, okay, well, I guess I'll just start making actual TikToks as opposed to just like recycling. And so those took off too.
Nice.
And it was like, it's hardly ever the ones that you would expect.
Yeah, right. That's what I hear. It's yeah. it's always yeah. the most random things.
You plan to, this one's going to go viral.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't.
Or you put a ton of effort and heart and sweat and tears into one, and it's like the one that you spent nothing, no time on at all that takes exactly. off or whatever. Has that been your experience?
Naturalism.
Yeah.
That's literally what they like. A lot of my stuff would be considered to be bloopers. Like
really?
Most of my videos. So any food review or that extended baton video, that is a blooper. Like that shouldn't be a real video. No production company would have posted that. They would have posted a real video.
Right.
But
that's the one that you said has one of your most viewed.
That's the best performing, by far.
How many views or how many watches?
It's up to 75 million views just on my page. Plus I've seen it on channel after channel.
Been, yeah, ripped and downloaded. Yeah. And
well, I might
places.
Need to be enlightened. I don't know what constitutes a view. Is that because it does play on a loop? Is every time, because Vine was like every time it would play, yeah. people would watch it like 10 times. Did that count as 10 views on Vine?
I think so.
That may be a question for Batch when we talk to him.
Whereas YouTube is IP address.
Okay.
YouTube is like your IP address. That's one view. And it will reset after a little while. But you can't just watch it. I think TikTok does work that way, though.
Oh,
interesting.
Because TikTok plays it on a loop. YouTube ends it. They officially like end a video, except for the new YouTube Shorts, which is similar to TikTok, which that's kind of like a competing brand. They're really trying to fight back for some of that space that TikTok has eaten up.
Yeah.
Cool. And they're paying a little bit more.
They are.
What happened with you blowing up? Like what?
October to August.
Okay.
It took me that long to get to 1 million.
To 1 million followers on TikTok.
And then August
to October. That's 2.5 months, 3 months.
No, sorry. October to August.
To August. Okay. So
10 months.
So 10 months.
To get to 1 million.
10 months, you got to 1 million followers on TikTok.
So then.
Was that posting every day?
That was. Pretty damn close. Yeah.
It every
was like
day, just about.
Pretty much every day.
Okay. And would you say that consistency is what can help the algorithms or whatever they do to kind of keep you at the forefront of people's attention?
And it's like Gary Vee says so. You know, it was just like listening to Gary Vee.
Right.
And he says post 7 a day, but I'm not even about
7
to do that.
A day. That's,
yeah.
That's nuts. Does he do that?
He
might post 7 a day, or there might just be enough footage of him post something.
But you're posting at least once a day. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you're saying that's a good habit to get into.
Consistency is like, honestly, the biggest advice that I have for anybody is just be consistent. I went to film school with some people who are way more talented than I am, and they're not doing anything in film. And it's because there's no consistency. I'm anywhere right now because of just posting.
Yeah,
every day.
That's a great advice. I mean, and finishing what you started, which is along the same lines. It's like you're on a journey of growth and growing your audience. It's finishing what you're starting. You're continuing to build. We know filmmakers too who've made great stuff, but it's never seen the light of day because they never finished it. You know, and it's short stuff like a trailer or a short film.
Like, we never got this actor back to do the one thing. And it's like, oh, gosh. Like,
well, and then life comes in and you got to do your thing.
And then it's
you
like,
never
well,
get finished.
Yeah.
But so consistency and from the million, how did that change from there?
So how to get a girl at a party.
Oh,
yes. That video. That one.
Did
we should
so
play
well.
That. We should play that. Let's play it. Let's play it.
How to get any girl's attention at a party. Quick glance, smile, look at a friend, take a drink, look away, and bring them back. Flare the nostrils, soften it, bite the lip, harder. Puff the chest, mating call. Look away. Look at your watch. Is that a fly? And we're back. Smolder. Cross-eyed. Hard to get. Bite. Laugh. And gone. Add some mystery. Now baby face. Dance. Slow it down. And peacock. Bigger. Bigger. She's all yours.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was hilarious. Yeah.
That was the video that literally, I think, got me the million.
So many faces.
Oh yeah.
So many faces.
Right.
Can you just bust one out for us right now?
Freaking, there's so many. There's literally so many. What's one?
You got called out on the spot. And it's like, oh, all the faces. Just give me one. I can't do it. Yeah. One, anyone. Pick. What's your favorite one?
That's my favorite one. I like that one.
What would you call that
yeah,
face?
Yeah, what would you call that face?
I think that was Smolder.
Smolder.
That was Smolder. Smolder yeah. In the video. That is Smolder. So that was a mix of cross-eyed and
then you, mouth goes circle. Like that. There you go.
It looks like you're in a coma or something.
Yeah. Am I anywhere close?
Yeah. I'm bad. Yeah.
Do it. I'm like,
the face just has to hang.
It has to hang.
It's got a lazy face, like yeah. A lazy eye. Yeah. And so that video literally just went through the roof, right? Skyrocketed.
I posted it, fell asleep, woke up to 2.2 million views.
Jeez.
In, you know, like 5 hours or something.
And probably a slew of followers too, right? Just like a slew of followers.
What was your highest viewed video before that?
A couple million. Okay. Couple million. This was
over a long period of time, not overnight.
Right.
Yeah.
Not overnight. Yeah.
I touched the wall, that one. That was my first video to ever blow up.
Mm-hmm. And this is you basically touching a wall in a drive-thru at a like... Like you're doing something you weren't supposed to. You're like, yeah. I can reach out and touch the wall in this drive-through. Yeah. Kind of like Nemo when he touches the boat. It's like, don't touch it. And he just taps it with his flipper. You kind of do that at the drive-through.
And some friends are like, dude, that is so cringy. Why do you keep doing that? It's like, well, I wouldn't have asked for that one to take off, actually. So I don't know. But
you can't ask for any of them to take off.
You can't.
The people decide. Yeah. It's like getting a dog, a puppy. You don't choose the puppy. The puppy chooses you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the thing. You don't choose the video that goes viral. The people choose what video goes viral.
And from that, you just continue to grow gradually, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so I guess it would be August to now, another 10 months that I've gone up to 6.2. Wow.
Exponential.
Yeah.
That's past amazing.
TikTokers that I started out watching.
Nice.
Mr. Hamilton or I'm the J. And it's crazy because I formed this opinion of them and their lifestyle and all of that just based off their profile, which is so easy to do. And then my profile gets above theirs and I still recognize that I'm still me living my lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's really no magic.
Like, I'm still the same person. I was supposed to, fairy dust is supposed to land on you and you're supposed to like, raise above the clouds.
Kind of like meeting a fan or something. Mm-hmm. I would disappoint. Mm. Like if the interaction went on for too long, I would feel like.
My dad, someone my dad watches, he always says, never meet your heroes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you realize quickly after meeting them that they're not heroes. They're just regular.
Normal people.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the end of The Graduate. Remember that? Where they do all this stuff and they finally get away.
They escape and they won and they're going to be together.
And then they're just sitting in the car and they're just like, oh.
What now?
Now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are there any other keys to that success that you feel like you've picked up?
Like on the viewer's side, maybe. Like what are they craving that they are getting from your content?
I can make a contrived video look and feel natural. That comes from acting. If it feels forced, faked, contrived, people go, whip, or they'll comment, okay, fake.
Mm.
But if it, because I studied acting, like I believe that I know how to take words off the page or take a concept and make it feel natural, like I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people like feeling that.
Yeah.
I consider it to be a little bit of movie magic.
Mm. Tricking people that are okay with being tricked.
Totally.
The way they're being tricked.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, there are people that are like, I'll see something and I'll be like, her reaction happened like right before the punchline.
Yeah. It's
I'm like, that's so fake. Like, I don't even like this. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's people that are trying to do ballroom dancing faces on their TikToks, like, like they're so surprised, you know, and they do those, oh, look at me, I'm doing tricks. And it's like, that's fake what they're doing. Like, it doesn't feel legitimate. I can appreciate what you're saying. Some people fall for that stuff and they dig it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. The legitimacy, the feeling of legitimacy, even if they're being tricked, even if they found out later they were being tricked, mm-hmm. they're like, I'm fine with that because it felt real and it was cool and I enjoyed it.
It
like movies.
Triggered the emotion of laughter.
Yes.
And that's, I think, really all that counts.
In a legitimate way.
Yeah. Yeah.
A non-contrived way.
Mm-hmm. I just did a recent video where I slip and fall. So my friends are sitting there, the two twin friends, and they're sitting at a table. And
oh, I've seen this one, yeah.
Cooking them eggs.
Yeah.
It's my ode to like Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Stuff, yeah, yeah.
So I end up falling in the video, and a lot of the comments are like, you know, that fall was real. He didn't mean to do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I did.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Because that would ruin the illusion. Like,
yeah.
Right. If it looked accidental, great.
Yeah.
It wasn't. But
that's what you were going for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that.
Comes it's in. Great because one of the things I think that you do so well is that you are very agile. Your humor is very physical and agile.
Yeah.
That's why it's like I was saying earlier, it's a mix of John Candy and Chris Farley because Chris Farley, that dude, have you seen the Chippendales one?
Patrick Swayze? Oh my word,
And Chris Farley, that one's great. Look that one up, watch it. It's fantastic. And then John Candy, who was not as physical, was very funny. He was more nuanced physical.
Yeah.
He had subtle movements. He wasn't as like outlandish, I'm going to fall on the coffee table and break it while living in a van down by the river.
Yeah.
He was more like, excuse me, what'd you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just very like subtle nuanced movements, physicality, but very humorous and they're both just great. And I see that you take after a lot of them given the similarities and it's really, I think, is working for you in so many ways. And I hope we can continue to have some of that in our series that we need to get greenlit by, you know, the powers.
Yeah.
The studio powers. But I think we should use that and you should keep rolling with it because I feel like there's a lack in the comedy world, in the entertainment world of those kinds of entertaining heroes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they were.
Yeah.
They were, and we lost them both way too soon.
Yeah. I know. Because of that, I really want to stick around. Like, I want to last. They, both John Candy and Chris Farley. You know, I don't know if John Candy, I don't know much about his dark side or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, I can imagine he had one, but I think that, like, that heavy dark side can be directly attributed to calling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A person's calling.
Mm.
And some people are just called to speak to the masses in a very short amount of time. Mm. Christina Grimmie, not a comedian. She was a singer. She was on The Voice. She got famous off of YouTube. And randomly in Florida, she was shot.
Wow.
Some fan had sent her a message. She didn't respond and he shot her and then shot himself. Kind of a downer there, but Christina Grimmie was a Christian, a pronounced Christian, and she died, I think, at 22.
Wow.
And I'm actually pretty paranoid going out in public and like interacting with people. I'm sensory overload. There's just like,
It's interesting because it, and a lot of people might not understand this that just know you from your videos. Mm. But that's essentially, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
You can be the life of the party when you're at home alone on a video.
Yes.
But when you go to a party, it can be overwhelming for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, but people don't understand that. They want to put their armor, hey, this guy, you know, like it gets social anxiety kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was followed by a fan, like followed in her car. She saw me in public. I got in my car and started taking off. She had just pulled into the post office. And then she starts following me. She didn't even go in and do her business in the post office.
Oh, whoa.
And I was so not okay with it. I was really like, I felt so defenseless, actually, in traffic trying to make these turns. And she's right behind me. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do?
Bro, dude, I know. Do they allow concealed carry where you are?
They do.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, look, not like you want to use any of that. No. Nobody does that actually does that. But yeah, man, I could see some people just taking it too far and like, ugh.
Trying to be nice, trying to be kind. They want to see me. I mean,
bro, have you seen The Fan? Isn't that the movie with De Niro and whatever? Like is that De Niro in
Wesley
that movie?
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah. Like that's scary stuff, man. The fans love them fans. Love you guys. But them fanatics a little too much. Love the fans, not the fanatics.
You're from where exactly? Where did you originate from? Where do you hail from?
So Salem, Oregon.
Salem, Oregon. Salem witch trials. Is that right?
Yeah,
no,
that's a different place.
I get
place.
That all the time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds the same. Salem.
Yeah, Salem. But Salem, Massachusetts.
Salem, Massachusetts.
That's right. It's Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I fell victim to that.
They never caught up to the witches in Salem, Oregon.
That's true.
That's where they escaped to find refuge.
Yeah.
That's why they named it Salem, maybe. Is there a movie in that? Is there a horror film in that?
There is, but
the witches from Salem, Massachusetts moved west.
Right.
They went down the Oregon Trail. They did the whole thing.
And Bible goes west. Yeah. The witches go west.
That's a great movie.
But from Salem, Oregon. And then, so how did you get into comedy performing?
So I started doing church plays. Like I grew up doing church plays and I would always have a solo to sing. She would always make sure that I would sing a solo and have a speaking part. She just saw something in me, right?
Wait,
right.
Who's this? The church lady or the
Mrs. McDonald?
Mrs. McDonald. Let's give a shout out to Mrs. McDonald.
Mrs. McDonald.
Cheers to Mrs. McDonald.
Cheers to Mrs. McDonald. I don't even know.
Cheers to the church lady.
Yep.
She saw something in me, and that really instilled like a self confidence in me. So I've just always been performance based.
And singing. You still sing a lot on your TikToks too.
That's true.
You have a good voice too, bro.
Appreciate that. That's my best instrument. And I only ever learned guitar to provide more opportunities to sing.
Yeah.
Church plays then transitioned into summer camps. So summer camps, especially in Brazil, Palavra da Vida, Sul, Word of Life camp. I went there probably 8 summers in a row. I lived in Brazil for 8 summers.
That's awesome.
So when I was 11, moved to Brazil till I was 19.
That's right. You speak Portuguese, Travis, too.
I do.
Yeah, se vocês falam português, podem falar conosco, compreender.
Now you're going to make me put subtitles up on this. Dizendo. Oh, my gosh.
Right. No. You don't have to do that. They'll get it. The right ears will pick up on our Portuguese.
If you don't get it, that's your problem.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, too, is that like I love keeping Brazil and Portuguese kind of like with me. Along.
Because that's awesome.
Not only have I done American TikTok, but I have a Brazilian TikTok too.
Oh, really?
Okay. I just literally do in Portuguese.
That's awesome.
That's been cool.
International. International.
International.
So you are internationally known. Are you known to rock the microphone? Sorry. Anyone else get that reference? That's the Beastie Boys. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. Mike D.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
That's a different generation, guys. I'm the old guy in the room. I'm the old guy in the room. Sorry. But you're internationally known. That's great. Because the Brazilian audience is big. Brazil's massive.
Big. And their sense of humor is very different from here.
That's true. Yeah.
I was... Honestly, I was a lot more accepted in Brazil.
Really?
To be straight up, yeah.
Well, why do you say that? Like, what accepted in what way? Like, what were you rejected?
They accept here? Public goofiness. So, like, I wasn't always on stage.
Okay.
Here to be, I can even be out with personal friends of mine, and if I do something a little out of the box, they get really mad or really embarrassed. It's just not the same
here
culture.
In the States.
Yeah.
Here in the States, we get, I guess to me that seems like telenovelas. Hmm. You know, they're like the Spanish soap operas. Yeah. They're like cheesier.
Yeah.
Like much more cheesy and goofy, kind of. I wonder if that's just a Latin America thing where they're open to it a little bit more.
And it's just more accepted. It's just like.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Because your humor is very goofy and silly in so many ways. We were at lunch and you said something about what you have learned from. Can you say what that was? Like where you get most of your comedic stuff from?
I swear it's mostly from Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry and I swear.
And Bugs Bunny and the gang and all those guys.
I love Mel Blanc because he made his artists, he goes, never write the same face.
Mm.
Always make it be a different face. And that, I mean, Jerry Lewis too. Jerry Lewis was huge, but I think that all in all, my facial expressions, my gestures, my timing, it really ranges from the cartoons that I watched as a kid.
The faces, the timing, and just the different things that you do, there's a wide range. It's not the same thing every time. You've got different things for different scenarios, which I think is really funny. Even in what you did with us for the thing we shot, the pilot, as I was saying earlier, it's tricky to like narrow down the funniest parts. And you have different takes, different faces, different reactions.
You're choosing from so many different good things.
Yeah.
It's a great problem to have, but it is a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is funny. Let's do this one. Oh, that's funny.
That's also funny.
Let's do that one. Well, can we do both? No, it's the same beat.
Right.
But they're different and they're both funny in different ways. So we found that to be a challenge.
It does make for a very colorful blooper reel.
For sure.
Because there's a lot to draw.
Or if you're like Anchorman 2, they'll just recut a whole second movie.
Dude, that would be amazing.
That was pretty cool that they did that. We had been talking about doing something like that. Like, it'd be great to have a whole second version of the movie just from different takes. And then, of course, they did that for Anchorman 2.
They did.
And they actually re-released a second version of the movie. All alternate takes that were like the other good stuff that they just had to cut out.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But I mean, when you've got comedians like that are that talented, that brings me to a question actually I'm curious about. Who are some of the comedians you draw inspiration from? Like who are the comedians that are just, you know, the bee's knees to you?
I was just explaining this to somebody recently that in Brazil, because I didn't have like high school or I didn't have like, I mean, that much of a social life really in Brazil, except for like summer camps, the stuff that I discovered online was very unconventional and unusual for a kid my age to be discovering.
Mm.
So Jerry Lewis. I love Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, the Colgate Comedy Hour.
There you go.
They were great.
Huge. Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just draw so much of their physicality. And then as I got older, I started to discover Jim Carrey, Chris Farley, Kevin James especially. And then going into film school, then I discovered where all of these guys, where their inspirations come from, which is Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Fatty Arbuckle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I consider my sense of humor to actually be really well informed.
Nice.
And very, very well, scoped and colorful.
That's awesome. Yeah. Some legends in there from many different eras, which is cool. We were having a discussion just before we started rolling about how some comedians have kind of a darker past or darker things that they're drawing from that they're dealing with. And we threw out a couple names. You said one in particular, Chris Farley. That his what did you say his goal before he passed?
So I know that he really wanted to do dark roles. Mm. He wanted to play darker movies, and he wanted to show that side of himself because he had one. He had a really dark side.
You mean like dramatic dark or like dark humor or dark?
More like troubled, like just
troubled,
maybe even a bad guy.
Okay. Mm.
But definitely dark, dramatic. I don't think he meant comedic at all. I think he wanted to get away from that as quickly as possible.
Interesting. Okay. And then we had talked, yeah, we were saying, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. When that all went down, you know, rest his soul, we miss him greatly. There was a lot of talk swirling about how he was dealing with some deep depression and
well,
problems.
All these guys. Yeah. Same with Chris Farley. Chris Farley, you know, overdosed, and you know, Robin Williams, and like a lot of them went too soon for just really taking dark paths and dark turns in their own personal lives, whether it was physically with you know, drug abuse, or whether it was just mental illness or issues like that. Like, I imagine it's very, very taxing to try to always be smiling.
Well, that's what that's what we were talking about, is like, it's interesting how that comedy in those cases at least seems to have become their outlet or their way of coping with whatever they were dealing with. You yourself have done some filmmaking, directing work, and we know that you've done a short film actually as well that is not comedy at all.
You actually went to film school, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. I got an associate's and a bachelor's. Did 4 years in under three.
And I think it shows in your quick edits and how you do, how you kind of put your stuff together. Now, we watched this short film.
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible. I think you did a great job directing it.
Thank you.
And it was a film school project. I was right.
It was.
What did you say? Your sophomore or something? Or no, your second semester? Is that what you said?
Yeah. First year, second semester. So that was. You know, people got to know me through that experience.
And that's awesome.
We didn't pick the best spot to film in Grand Rapids. It was in a parking lot, that parking lot.
Yeah, we'll put, if you're watching on YouTube with us right now, guys, we'll throw Colin's short up here so we can reference it. But check it out. It's on his YouTube channel.
They filmed part of it in a parking lot where there's a really big and dramatic scene that takes place. Tell us what was bad about filming in that parking lot.
So I think we definitely captured the environment while we were shooting there. You know, the back of the van is actually wide open, and we have like seven people like crammed doing and stuff. So while we're shooting, we shot until 4:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And we had no security, and we didn't know that was a thing you should have.
In that part of town or what? Or just
I think just in general.
In general?
It's really important to have. And actually, I'm so glad that we did not shoot on the red camera. The way that our school was trying to force us to do, use the red. And we're like, our film is low lighting, so we need the A7S. Mm-hmm. Without, like, it has to have really good lighting with the red to even look low lighting.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So our A7S, long story short, got stolen. All of our equipment got stolen.
Oh, shoot.
We were being watched as we were shooting in that parking lot, and we wrapped, we all went upstairs. There was a 5-minute window that the DP left his car unlocked.
No fire watch.
You got to have someone always on that.
Yeah.
Oh no. Man. Someone was scoping you out and just waiting for the opportunity, huh?
They seized it right away.
Poachers.
It was nuts, dude. It cost him $3,500. But it would have been $60,000.
That's what I was about to say. Right? Thankfully, it could have been a lot worse than you. I mean, still, that's terrible for any filmmaker. Yeah. But shoot, we know filmmakers who've been robbed at gunpoint and their reds stolen. In broad daylight.
Yeah. In San Francisco, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Josh.
That's crazy.
Josh,
yeah. That's crazy. So were you able to finish the film? I mean, like, how did it?
So we lost all the footage.
Oh, my gosh.
Lost all the footage. So that film, what we did there— We rescheduled it and shot our entire movie in 16 hours.
What?
It was a 16-hour day. That
whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I guess.
It's a lengthy short. It's 12 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
That was like, I mean, it would have been until 4:30 again. And this time it might have been the same people, but we were chased. They chased us. That shot of him driving.
Uh-huh.
And the lights are passing
and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a great shot.
That's you guys escaping, evading.
We're being chased.
Oh my gosh.
If you take away the sound and bump up, I am on the phone with the producer, just like frantic, trying to convince him that this is happening. He wasn't believing me. I had to pass the phone to somebody else.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was getting really frustrated.
Wow, dude.
But that was pretty terrifying.
What were they, just like random street folks, they were
looking into people's cars with the flashlights and stuff.
Wow.
They came and looked into the van as we were filming a take. And honestly, she was one of the scariest people I've ever seen. She had these ponytails and it looked like Harley Quinn, but on meth or something. It was nuts.
Minus the well-groomed teeth and the nice smile.
Yeah.
Or minus the teeth completely, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when you do meth. The teeth go bye-bye.
This is great, because I hope people listening can get a sense of, this is filmmaking. You know, this is literally filmmaking nutshell. Like, even on big movies.
Indie filmmaking, for sure. Yeah. But even on big movies, yeah.
The entire journey is, you're doing things in ways and in places and with people that they're not meant to be done. Like, you're using resources in ways they were never meant to be used to make a film, a fictional recreation of something, right? So you're naturally going to run into just weird occurrences and events and things where people just don't understand what's going on, or they take advantage of it, you know?
Well, one thing, for example, is when we were filming the FBI scene for Deacon, we got this great building, the owners and those, it was great to work with them, but they didn't realize, they're like, oh, hey, just so you know, like, you'll have to park on this side of the building because that day they're starting this huge tree excavation and parking lot renovation. And we're going, that's going to be loud, like all day long, you know, chainsaws and all that stuff. So we're like, is there any way we can push that to the next day? Because we're only there the one day and we need good audio.
Yeah. It was going to be happening right outside the windows.
And they're like, well, it shouldn't be too bad, right? And we're like, no. It can be very bad. It can devastate a production to not have good audio. And it can cause weeks and weeks of post-production audio design, you know? So
thankfully, they moved it. They moved it a day for us.
Yeah. They were able to do that. Yeah.
Thankfully. Wow. But yeah, it's the types of things that just goes, they go overlooked for most people because they're just not used to the process of making movies.
Yeah, it's just not in their bubble of things.
This episode is sponsored by TravelIsSwell.com. Let's face it, we've all been cooped up in our houses for way too long, and we really need to get outside. If you're like me, you could use some sun. Your skin is pale. And that vitamin D is lacking. Come experience the very pinnacle of luxury Caribbean all-inclusive vacations at one of the 20 resorts and beaches resorts in Turks and Caicos, St. Lucia, Jamaica, Antigua, the Bahamas, Grenada, Barbados. There's so many. And the experts at Travel Is Swell have been to them all and know exactly which bells and whistles and customizations you should be doing. Unwind on exquisite white sand Caribbean beaches, dine by candlelight at gourmet restaurants, sink into lavish, stylish suites, and enjoy a magnificent slate of thrilling activities, and that's just the start. So, treat yourself. Don't let this summer pass by without a well-deserved vacation. Visit TravelIsSwell.com right now or call 888-963-8986. Get out there. Get some sun. So you directed this short. I mean, what are your future goals and aspirations for directing? Do you want to do more of that?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Yeah?
Halloween, I made a short film that's actually a horror film.
Nice.
And I'm actually making a sequel to that right now. And they actually have – I can't really say about that one.
It's a surprise? Is it a secret surprise?
No. The message behind it.
Oh, okay.
Is
no spoilers.
Rather faith-based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. In a horror film. That's interesting.
I want to be as unconventional in my filmmaking, especially when it comes to Christian filmmaking, as I can.
That's cool. You sometimes see the faith element, but played in a, you know, more of a demonic way, typically in more of like, actually, you saw it just recently in the Conjuring 3 trailer.
Yeah.
They were like, what was the line? It's like, we often, you know, proclaim the existence of God in the courtroom when we swear at the Bible. It's time we accept the existence of the devil too, you know, or whatever. But, you know, they're really leaning into that demonic side of things. But that's cool. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, we've done some things like that. We produced a short film called The Shift, and it's like a sci-fi.
Mm. Christian
sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, the Christian world has a hard time accepting some of those things sometimes.
Yeah.
But if they can get past that, they can realize, hey, it's taking a bit of a Christian message and putting it in this cool vehicle for, you know, for entertainment, you know? I think it should be more broadly accepted, and I think it will be fun and good for Christians to kind of allow that to get into the creative space a little bit more. So this idea is, that's cool. I'm excited to hear more about it. And
Christians are actually not my demographic in doing so.
Right, right.
I don't believe that's a ministry if you're
Preaching to the choir.
Dude, you're totally right. You're totally right. I mean, that's the thing we were just talking about at lunch, actually. You need to smuggle the messages into movies the way that they're used to being absorbed, you know? That's really where they change hearts.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
Not unnaturally either. You know, like some people just force it in and that kind of becomes a propaganda. But you know what? That's what everyone's doing on every viewpoint, on every whatever. They're just, they're doing that.
I think the very definition of like a come to Jesus moment or feeling a miraculous change of heart or, you know, that change in your soul is it comes in an unexpected, powerfully truthful way, you know, that touches you. And it's just, and it's almost always unexpected. I feel like, you know what I mean? And so I feel like those types of films or faith-based films that are marketed as faith-based films to Christians, you know, like you said, you're not attracting quite the right audience, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to turn my vices into productivity, turn my vices into income. Because, you know, through film school, I kind of just like, you know, stopped worrying about, you know, 19 years, one note. Going to college, I was like, freedom, you know, and that was not the best thing, but I think it was really healthy for me to go through because now I know who to speak to and I know how to speak to them.
Yeah.
The Empty Man is a horror film that totally has a Christian message.
Interesting.
And I just watched it recently. It's a recent release and
what's it called? The Empty Man?
The Empty Man.
Who's in that?
Nobody.
Do I know? Okay.
This is a first-time director.
Okay.
He made a 40-minute short film that got him financing for The Empty Man.
So that's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see more. Let us know if you need help with anything. You know, if there's anything we can be helpful on. We're always hopeful and helpful and wanting to be of
champions.
Any aid.
Champions. We want to be champions of indie filmmakers that are going to put in the work and the love and the time and as much as we've put into our films. Mm-hmm. People think you did this movie with WB and with Lionsgate or whatever. And it's like, no, we didn't do those movies with them.
Yeah.
They distributed the movies we did ourselves.
Yeah. They got it after it was done.
Yeah.
After it was already done.
So it's like,
it's a way to go.
Like it's tougher that way, but we were able to control a lot of the content and those things. But like we've found that we were still, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It's a hard path to go down. And so that's one of the reasons for this podcast. We want to help people like us to make going down that path a little bit easier.
And just know that you can get stuff done on your own. You don't need $1 million. You don't even need $1,000. You barely need 100 in most cases because you can film it on your phone.
Unless you miss your flight.
Unless you miss your flight.
Oh, yeah. Then you might need a couple $100 extra.
The sweat beads rolling down Colin's face. Well, I got a couple other questions for you, Colin. You've been in the TikTok world for a while now. You know a lot about it. What are some of the common misconceptions about TikTok that you hear from other users or even people trying to get started?
Misconception, I think, would be that they're not regular people, that they don't have regular jobs, that they don't have a need to make an income. I mean, that's the thing, especially with family, especially with like peers who don't understand this and stuff. It's I actually feel like I am falling victim to a lot of envy.
Interesting.
That is manifesting itself in probably 5 or 6 different ways, but each one is a pattern. I'm talking about work, family, friends, and maybe it's just paranoia or whatever, but I feel like everybody is fighting the envy to some degree. That's what I feel like.
you mean like they are, they wish they could have that kind of success?
They wish that I just made an income just working. That's all they want.
Just do the basic thing. Don't try to spread wings and fly. Just kind of walk along the beach and get the sand crabs.
Yeah, just do what I did. You know, it's that type of thing. And, you know, like, man, I wish I could talk to Frank Caliendo, one of my heroes. You know, I feel like that's an approach that my boss had. Because I got to do that. Frank Caliendo is a great impressionist.
Oh, yeah.
I got to talk with him on TikTok live for like an hour. And that was cool. But I feel like telling people that, because it's never meant to gloat. It's just that TikTok is so new to me.
Yeah.
Especially the income part. It's really new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's indicative of the times that we're in. And I feel like the guinea pig to this.
Yeah. It's crazy. So if people understood what you're going through or what a real TikToker does, it's not the 15, 30, or 60 seconds that they see. It's like, that's that. And then the person goes and like makes dinner.
Yeah.
And then they go to work because a lot of them still have jobs. And then they feed the dog.
It's kind of the facade of all social media, really, right?
It is.
I mean, it's like people have normal lives, you know, outside of the one picture or video, like you said, the 6 seconds you see online. It's like, well, no, then you go back to your normal life. You've got a regular job. You've got a regular job that, you know,
I don't like to have.
Like
I'm proud to have it, but I would rather not. And that is where my family and friends don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensing envy from people who are already established, like on social media.
Got it.
So like
how did he get up there as fast as he did or whatever?
I worked 10 years to create my audience. This guy doesn't get to do it in 18 months. That's the thing, I'm being met with.
Again, it's not something that we can choose. It chooses. Let me take that back. We can do what we can, but it feels like the fans, especially in the social media, TikToks, those kinds of things, they come to you. It's not like you can't be blamed for that success. You were doing what you're supposed to do, just like the other person might have been doing what they were supposed to do, but it took them longer. Yeah. Maybe it didn't take them longer. It took their fans longer, or maybe the algorithm made it take longer. I don't know how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Because that stuff can be tricky and it seems like it changes every day.
I know. It's impossible. It's like, you're not going to figure it out.
Who can keep up with that?
It's like AI. That's what I consider it to be.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of brings me to another question I had that we touched on here just a little bit, but you know a few things about this. Explain to us, and you don't have to get into specific numbers, but explain to us a little bit about how the workings of TikTok revenue actually works. I genuinely know nothing about it. I don't know how TikTokers make money and what that even looks like.
Posting every day really helps keep you in the algorithm. In August of 2020, TikTok opened up a creator fund. And they were like, we have $200 million that we're going to pay out to these creators who qualify. So I applied and I got accepted. And I was like, wow, okay, so TikTok is actually going to start paying now.
So what is it definitively? Like, is every 1,000 views gets?
I think it's every 1,000 views gets 2 cents.
Well, there's my 2 cents. Every 1,000 views gets 2 cents about.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're in the program.
If you're in the creator's fund.
Got it. So for normal folks, that wouldn't apply. Just if you hadn't done. Okay.
And what do you have to do to be in the, you have to be over 18? You have to.
I think there's literally three things it says. 100,000 followers.
Oh, so you have to have there's certain thresholds.
Yeah.
100,000 followers.
10,000 something.
10,000 video likes or?
Watch hours or something or.
I can't remember. And then be 18.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those three have to hit. So say like the month of May,
mm-hmm.
all the videos that you make in that month would be June 30th that you get that stuff.
Okay.
So they pay you 30 days later.
They do. Yeah. After the month.
It's like the education system.
Yeah.
Yeah. The month after you worked, you get paid for the month.
Yeah.
A month later.
You know, it's not necessarily enough per month to like keep me afloat solely just that. I mean, technically, I guess it kind of is, but I would not feel okay with myself just relying. I'm just going to rely on this app.
Yeah, all yeah, no, totally.
That's just not okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
To support yourself and yeah. your livelihood, like, no way.
No.
Especially because, I mean, let's be honest. It's a foreign-owned company. They could pull the rug out from under you at any time. Yep. We've seen that with some things already.
Oh, yeah. And are you also doing any brand stuff, partnerships or ads or sponsoring, any of that kind of stuff too?
Dude. You got these great t-shirts, dude, with your face plastered
on
them.
Some
I love it. Yeah. For the video, we'll put one up. But guys, his face is so funny in this. It's like it's like a cartoonified version of you.
Who's already cartoon?
Who is already a living, walking yeah, cartoon. Yeah. It's so funny. I love it. But you got some merch.
Yeah.
They're funny shirts, guys. Check them out. The shirts are hilarious.
Some quotes and
what,
stuff.
What kind of face are you making on the shirt?
That one, yes.
Something like that. Yeah. I think it's something like that.
To me, I see the TikToks and all that stuff. And people that are doing it consistently, I know that it doesn't take 5 seconds. I know that it can take hours a day. Like, it's a part-time job for people that are doing it in their spare time.
Yeah.
So like how tiresome can it get? How
much time are you putting
in? Yeah. Do you get tired and just, and like, this is too much. It's not 2 cents per thousand views is not enough for the time and effort I'm putting in. Do you get tired and discouraged?
I do.
You do.
I do, where I'm like, I don't want to have to post a TikTok because like, I don't want this to become the job, even though that is the goal. When things become a chore, a job, like I have to now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really unconventional in my approach to professionalism. So like with the brand deals, I have kind of cut ties with a lot of brands who have reached out to me just by being unintentionally unprofessional. Mm. And that part of that's kind of by design. I really don't like professionalism, and I already have trouble with like being civilized. I feel like our,
what's going on here? I'm not like, sure I follow
like pleasantries.
Pleasantries. Oh, I feel small like talk.
I'm getting
pleasantries. Yeah. Just the yeah. BS.
I want to hear nitty gritty stuff. I want to be able to share nitty gritty stuff and have it be received well. Unfortunately,
you don't want to be a phony, a Hollywood phony.
Yeah.
That's like a shill for the brand.
I love Joe Rogan for not doing any ads.
Mm-hmm.
He will be reached out to people all the time and he ignores all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like it's because of him that I'm doing that. I feel like he aligns with what I'm already doing, yeah. Which is I gravitate towards people like you guys.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I love independent film. I love mom and pop shops. I would much rather have, you know, a kitchen job over working with some AutoZone company or something like that, which I've done. So my money is pretty much just TikTok Creator Fund. And brands are not reaching out to me, really anymore. So. Mm.
Interesting.
Well, are there brands that you're like, I like this, maybe I'll reach out to them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like which ones?
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Uh-huh. And then-
Is Blockbuster still around?
So Blockbuster is in Bend, Oregon. They're 2 hours from me.
Is that the one they did the Netflix special on?
Yeah.
I saw some of that. Yeah. I think it's actually called The Last Blockbuster or something, it is. Isn't it? I watched a little bit of that.
Super good.
So what's the, what, how would that work? What is your idea for a sponsorship? I mean, I thought they turned it into like a Airbnb or something.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is they kind of left me high and dry. Like I've been doing other people. So I think it's going to be that relationship where it's like the people who want me, I don't want, and then vice versa. You
know? Okay.
Mm.
Which
gotta I find that right. Yeah. That right person or that right company that'll click, huh?
Yeah. Like for me, it'd be like, hey, Sprite. Like, let's set it up. I drink Sprite all the time. I'm obeying my thirst on set. I drink Sprite. So Sprite, if you're listening, send over the paperwork for that sponsorship.
No doubt.
Let's get it done. I'll have a Sprite right here front and center all day long.
There's something cool about that though too. It's like you're not worrying about that and it's just pure creation. You know, you're just worrying about making funny stuff, nothing else, you know?
That's true. I think it would be cool to find find and connect with sponsors or financiers that get what you're doing and that can benefit from it. You know, everyone benefits, but like kind of letting you be you.
Yeah.
It's the difference between a manager and a micromanager. You have a sponsor and you have a micro sponsor. Like, well, you can't say that. This person shouldn't be saying, it's like, this person is who they are. And that's why people like them for that. Let them be who they are. That's why you're paying for the sponsorship. And people try to take and change and tweak things. Like, let's have you say it this way. You know, it's like, well, no, if I say it the way you're asking me to say it, then you would be missing out on the reason that we're working together.
Right.
Yeah. What would be some of the top tips you would give to someone looking to either start a TikTok or just be creative and be an entertainer in general from your perspective?
I think me personally, I would be speaking to a demographic in saying this, in being the most unconventional that you could be. So that would require, like, you know, I see some TikToks dedicated to one thing, and that is it. That is their whole TikTok. And they'll have millions of followers, and you know exactly what you're going to get. Not me. My videos are all over the place, and I pride myself on that. I pride myself on just being so unpredictable in my content. They never know what's coming. And
it's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise.
It's Christmas morning with Colin. Christmas morning. You wake up to a brand new TikTok, and it's like a box of chocolates, right?
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
I think that's
right? Did you see that coming? Did we all see that coming? Okay.
We actually did. Okay. We saw that one. But I think that's actually pretty cool because you hear a lot of people say the opposite, right? You hear a lot of people say, find that niche and stay in that niche. You know? But you're saying, no, be unconventional. Be you. Do shake it up.
They're not wrong when they say that.
No. Both can be successful.
They're
like
right
said.
When they say that. But there are exceptions to that rule. And that's where nuance and context needs to be more understood in our jump the gun society that we're in. We need to understand that while most people need to kind of set into a box a certain way, that there are others that need to be outside of that box or need to be standing on the box. We have to allow for all of those things. We need to. It's what makes our society great.
Well, we were talking about this in the last episode. We were saying how, and I believe this applies to humankind in general, but we were saying Hollywood doesn't know what they want. They never know what they want. They will attach onto the next hot thing when it shows up and say, oh, that's our next big thing. But I think that's the way people are too. They don't know exactly what is funny. They don't know what they want. And then when they see it, it's like, oh, dude, this, you got to watch this guy or you got to see this. This is the next thing. And they never would have thought of it otherwise until you show it to them or to whoever shows it to them, you know, which I think is amazing. It's like how new stories are told. It's how original stuff's made, you know,
which Hollywood doesn't do a lot of.
I know, because they're not creative driven. They're money driven.
Yeah.
I'm creatively driven.
Yes.
There's stuff that I need to get out.
Yeah, so are we. It's the same thing. And this is what's interesting. Blah, 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 blah. I can't even speak. I'm so excited right now. I'm like a dog about to piddle that hasn't seen its owner in like 5 days.
I'm like a dog chasing cars. Yeah. I wouldn't know what to actually do with one when I caught it.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel this way. It's like that's one of the reasons I reached out to you. I reached out to several people on TikTok, Instagram, different places. Like, hey, what you're doing is creating and you're not so hung up on this or that. Now, they may be sponsored by like an energy drink or something. And so they are making an income out of it. But a lot of them just want to collaborate with people and make some cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we did this with this Deacon Jones pilot episode that we filmed. Batch, we met at the Blumhouse Halloween party in 2019. And we just hit it off. And it's like, hey, yeah, let's get together and create something. And then I hit you up and some other people. And it's like
all creatively driven, all like driven by just the need to create something cool
and the desire to really excel in your skill set. Like Batch is a trained actor, also. Like he is trained. He's not just like some Viner and some TikToker. The guy's Instagrammer. The guy's skilled.
That's really what I was
going to say earlier when you were saying that exact same thing. He told us the same thing. Like that's what he is. He you know it drives him is the acting portion of it.
Yeah. And so we believe that we're like, great, because we want you to showcase that in this series. There's going to be plenty of comedic moments and fun and funny bits and action and all that kind of stuff. But there's going to be several instances where there's going to be some real dramatic pieces that are going to need to be acted and told in a great way that we feel that he can portray. And we're not pigeonholing anyone. Mm-hmm. We're not pigeonholing anyone the way we feel that we have been pigeonholed by some people in the industry. They just do that. Oh, I don't have any horror concepts right now. It's like, great. We don't do just horror. Like, this is an action comedy. And we have to go out and shoot this thing to prove to the streamers and the platforms and the studios. I don't know why we need to prove this yet again, but like, hey, check this out. And they're going to be cracking up. They're going to be enjoying it. And they're going to be saying, oh, yeah, this really is great. And it's, again, like Chris was saying, showing them the next thing that they would latch on to that they otherwise wouldn't have seen themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what we intend to do with this action comedy series, Deacon Jones.
So exciting.
So we've been reaching out to people to collaborate because it's like, man, I think that's the new way. Wherein studios are decreasing their ability to have access or to influence, and these other platforms are rising up and filling that space and filling that entertainment gap, we can find more creative people that are focused on the creative, like you and us, and we can really collaborate and make some really cool stuff happen. I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Very excited.
Because of that.
Very excited. Very excited to be working with you in the future, Colin. On this episode that we're working on, Deacon Jones, and on many more things.
Yeah.
Colin Everett, everyone. Colin Everett. Colin, your mom, right here with us today. Any final words of wisdom? Any final things you would leave with our viewers that are looking to just maybe follow in your footsteps?
Or any questions for us, too.
That as well. Either one of those things.
So interesting that you say that about coming into a new era. I conduct most of my business on Instagram. It's not emails anymore. It's literally Instagram.
And it's not through agents and managers and reps and all of that.
I'm doing it all myself. So in that way, be consistent of not just content, but like literally TikTok comments, commenting on other videos and having them be liked and seen and interacted with. Is so important. Also just literally being yourself, or if you're going to choose a character, be really good at that.
Got it.
I do play a character. I definitely play a character, multiple characters who are unnamed. Is just like one of my favorite characters to play is definitely based off of Kevin James. It's like somebody who can't find the right words to say, you know? And a lot of people don't like that because they want something clever to actually be said. That's their comedy. So they find it obnoxious or whatever. But I love the dude. Ricky Gervais is one of the best who just can't find the right words to say. So that is definitely a character that I play. I would encourage, but that is also me though. That's what I need to get out is that inner, because I have to be civilized for my job and being around family and friends. I have to be kind of composed or else it's not all that well accepted. So I feel like TikTok has become this home where I can literally just really be myself. I'm pulling back the veil and showing them my actual self. I think this is more of a character.
That's interesting. That's really, really interesting stuff. That just really makes you think about entertainment in general. Just like, how many things have we seen on film and TV and TikTok, on whatever, where we believe we're seeing a character, but we're actually seeing the real self kind of coming out. And this is their window. This is their opportunity to show us that. I think that's fascinating. Yeah. That's absolutely fascinating.
I feel like these platforms are like the cryptocurrency of creators.
Right.
Crypto is decentralizing world banking. And these social media platforms are decentralizing the entertainment industry.
Wow. That's so interesting.
So it's creator cryptocurrency.
It is. Okay. So I was just at my grandpa's house. Him and my older brother are talking all about stocks and cryptocurrency over my head completely. I jump into the conversation and I just show him my TikTok. I show them my creator fund. I go, this is my cryptocurrency. And I try to explain it to them. And what I said to them is that I will probably never understand your side of things, stocks, trades, crypto.
Yeah.
they probably won't be understanding to the full extent that I do TikTok and the Creator Fund.
Right.
So I see those as one and the same. And it's really interesting that you just said that. You put it into more definitive words for me. But very, very interesting the times that we're in.
It is super interesting. I actually did think of another question. Are there any – but we talked about some of your own behind-the-scenes experiences making movies. Are there any behind-the-scenes stories, whether it be from a movie, a show, an actor's life, or anything like that, that have inspired you or that have been – you know, you've heard and you've been just like, whoa, I didn't know that. Or that's just exactly what I'm doing. Or, you know, like they did it with duct tape and paper clips and string and it blows my mind. Anything like that that sticks out for you?
Damien Chazelle.
Damien
Chazelle, dude.
Oh yeah. He did that through Blumhouse. I mean, we were talking to Cooper on our set for the Gallows.
Wow.
After they had won something at Sundance.
For the short.
For the short. And we were like, hey, what's going on? He's like, working on this you know, Whiplash. I was like, yeah, we heard about that. It won some jury award for a short. He's like, yeah, it's great. It's just a script. It's just fantastic. And we were talking about it on the set here in Fresno, talking about Whiplash and how they were planning on getting ready to shoot it.
Dude.
And is that what you're referring to, Whiplash? Or is it something else in his career?
Whiplash, the short film.
Yeah. Yeah,
is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, he made the short film and he got like $3 million to go make that thing.
Mm-hmm.
David Pryor, The Empty Man. Mm. He did the same thing. Okay, so like one director that I absolutely love is Dan Gilroy.
Oh, okay. I know him. Yeah.
Made Nightcrawler.
That's
which
right.
is my favorite movie.
That's a great movie.
It's my favorite. Every time I watch it, I'm watching with somebody new who hasn't seen it yet. I have to introduce somebody to it like once, twice a year.
Okay.
And for that to be his first feature, and I don't even know that he did a short film. I think he literally just made the feature, but I'm not sure about that. My end goal, I think, is to own the production company that is making these types of movies. Mm. A24 and Blumhouse are like top dogs for when it comes to the types of movies that they make and produce and see worth in.
Yeah.
I would love to find out the movie ideas that they've rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's probably some simple rom-coms and stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
We've got some of those.
We've got some of them have come our way.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're tight with Blumhouse. I mean, I mean,
there's been people who've sent us scripts and ideas, pitches for things that they've shopped to Blumhouse and A24 and some of these guys, and for whatever reason they just didn't get green light, or there was interest and it just didn't work out. But they
like someone involved from some other entity had like some news come out that was negative or something and it's like, oh, well, let's pass on that one. You know, like weird things happen that don't get things greenlit.
That's pretty cool though. It's a long-term goal. Mm-hmm. You're the production studio guy. You're the Jason Blum of Colin Everett Studios, right? Or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, the Tyler Perry.
Tyler
Perry, the Jason Blum. Mm-hmm. That's something that we have aspired to be as well with Tremendum Pictures. It's like, you know, but I feel like it's going to be more available to the indie guy.
Mm-hmm.
The underrepresented creators and talent. And that's where the cryptocurrency, I feel, comes in. It's like the value is going to come from the creators.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be so many middlemen, so many, let me introduce you to this. And just that introduction is a $100,000 introduction.
Yeah.
And let me make another introduction. Those things are good and they've worked and they still work and they will work because it's connections. But creation is creating content is turning out to be king, and there's a lot of money being set up to propel that into the future at warp speed.
Yeah.
Near ludicrous speed, actually.
Yeah.
Definitely warp speed, but near ludicrous
speed. Ludicrous speed.
No doubt.
Prepare for ludicrous speed. All right. Well, guys, this has been fun. And I have been well informed about many a topics.
Cool.
Including, but not limited to, TikTok and meth heads stealing all our camera gear.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Watch out for them meth heads trying to steal your camera equipment.
They'll get you. They'll get you.
Got to have that security personnel on set.
Well, Colin, man, this has been super fun. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast. Well, let's have you back. Let's check in again soon and see how the films are coming. And
let's just change shirts and we'll change and come back and do another one in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And just pretend we jumped 10 years into the future. Yeah. So now we're looking back on the creation of Colin's
studio.
Hey,
we could foreshadow what we intend to do and put it into the universe. And then when we watch it, we'll be like, man, we didn't do any of that stuff we said we were going to do, or we did a bunch of it.
I love it.
Probably exactly how it's going to play out.
Well, thank you again, Colin, for coming, man. This was super fun. I want to also thank our sponsors again, one more time, travelistswell.com. Let the specialists there help you choose your perfect vacation before the summer's over, or even when the summer's over, when it's cooling down and you want to go to your favorite beach or resort, visit travelistswell.com. They will hook you up, get that tan like we don't need, clearly, on this show. We're good.
Yeah. We're so pasty white right now.
But thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Colin,
you're the man. And if you want to follow Colin, it's at Colin Your Mom.
Got it right down here on the screen. Colin Your Mom.
For those of you listening, it's at Colin Your Mom. That's at CollinUrr.
Double R.
MOM.
At Colin Your Mom.
Thank you guys so much, man.
Let's get out of here, dudes. It's getting hot.
I'm sweaty.
And sweaty.
Thanks, guys. Join us next time.
I can feel it.
You feel it down in my plumes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Eastbound and down, Will Ferrell. I can feel it. All hot and sweaty.